Hi, this is Dennis Byrd, and you're listening to the 5%ers podcast, where we'll learn why it is that only 5% of people who lose weight never gain it back. I'll bring my expertise in life coaching, my advanced studies in psychology, and my own personal story of beating obesity so we can learn new ways of thinking and adopt powerful strategies to lose weight and keep it off for life. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to the 5%ers podcast, episode number 47, Building Mental Toughness, interview with Sean Goodsell. Well, it's great to have you back with me today. I've had a couple of weeks off just due to the holidays, and it's good to be back and podcasting again. One of the things I just wanted to mention first before we get into today's topic is I have been putting out chapters of my book, Get Smart and Get Slim, out onto my website at dennisbyrd.org. And I think we're up to chapter 6 right now, and I'll be posting chapter 7 a little bit later in the week. And so if you are interested in weight loss and in maintaining weight, basically Get Smart and Get Slim is the way that I've been summarizing all of my thoughts and strategies around these topics. And it's been really helpful for me to go back and really look at the book that I've written and edit each week before that I put these things out onto the web. And just to let you know, they're short chapters. My philosophy on these types of topics is that you don't have to say a lot to say anything meaningful. And so you'll find these to be a very quick read. And then if you go to my website at dennisbyrd.org and click on Get Smart and Get Slim, you're going to see all the chapters that I've put out up to now. And one of the things that I'm asking of people is that you can leave comments after each chapter. And if you find things of interest, leave your comments. If you found errors, please leave your comments or suggestions on how to improve the chapter. I would really welcome your feedback. I'm really trying to make this book as good as I can, and all that feedback will really be helpful. So dennisbyrd.org, Get Smart and Get Slim. You can find that information. Well, today I'm actually rebroadcasting an interview with Sean Goodsell that I posted back in February, but I've tightened up the interview, so I'm going to be releasing it in two parts, part one this week and part two next week. And the reason for that is that it was an hour conversation, and I felt like, you know, if we break this into maybe a couple of smaller chunks, it's going to be a little bit more digestible for you. And really, the other reason why I wanted to bring this back is Sean came onto my show basically in February of this year when I probably had only just a few hundred people listening at that point. And so this is such good information that I know I've got so many more people that are coming to the website listening to the podcast that if you didn't go back into the archives, you're not going to find this information. This was probably one of the top interviews I did this week. And I've known Sean for well over 20 years. He's a top sports performance psychologist here in the Twin Cities and has worked with a lot of people actually around the country and around the world. And being mentally tough is one of the keys to success in life, whether it's in our health and in losing or maintaining our weight, being mentally tough in our careers, in our businesses, and definitely even in our relationships. And mental toughness seems like it's this skill that we build, but what you're really going to learn in this podcast is that you don't build mental toughness. What you do is you build different skills, and then the result is being mentally tough. And so we're going to cover half of that conversation today. So if you've listened to this podcast way back in February or through the archives, I think you're going to find this a good refresher. And then if this is the first time you're in this topic, you're going to find this really helpful information. All right, enjoy. Sean, thanks for joining me today on the 5%ers podcast. It's great to have you.
And it's awesome to be here.
Yeah, it's great to see you too. It's just great to have you on the show. And, you know, I think it's just going to be a great topic today about mental toughness. And I was wondering if you could share to the people listening today just a little bit about your background and how mental toughness has come to play in what you do.
Well, you know, Dennis, one of the things that is true about me is growing up, I was a three-sport athlete in high school and college, but my mindset and my capacity to deal with adversity was very limited. And because of that. I really believe I left a lot of opportunity on the table, and I really believe that my experience was less than what it could have been. And coming out of college, I realized, you know, learning how to be mentally tough is a skill. And I saw many of the kids that I worked with and many of the clients that I've now worked with, really the only thing holding them back was their mind. And I wanted to have an answer for those that, you know, still wanted to achieve at high levels and wanted to learn how to use their mind to help elevate their performance, not only in their sport, but in their life. And so my story began in 1999 when I was fortunate enough to be able to work with, in Minnesota, a hockey team that was very skilled and had ambitions to win a state title. And for 2 years, I worked with that team and got and helped them get to their goal finally in the second year. And in the first year, they almost got to their goal. So that was where my story started.
Yeah, well, it's been interesting. I've been watching the Winter Olympics and just thinking about this topic of mental toughness. And I was watching a young skater from the United States who started a performance off, and she was doing great. And then all of a sudden, she fell on one of her turns. And I was really thinking about, wow, I wonder what kind of coaching she's got, because, you know, she just gets back up and starts continuing, you know, her routine, and just wondering what's going on in her mindset about how she's learning how to kind of power through kind of the disappointment, knowing that that fall is going to greatly hurt her chances of a medal.
Yeah, you know, I've had the honor to work with quite a few skaters, and I don't think most people realize how difficult it is to execute those fine motor skills consistently under pressure. And and a lot of those skaters, you know, they work hour after hour after hour on the technical aspects of their jumps and of their spins and of their routines. Mm-hmm. And it's just been recently, I think, where a lot of younger skaters have actually began to hire people like myself in order to add the mental toughness component to their practicing and to their competitive routines, because people are seeing that if you watch the Winter Olympics right now, the difference between the gold medalist and sixth place is maybe a 1 second moment,
right?
Or a 2 second moment. And there's lots of young people who are actually moving in this direction for that purpose.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, like you got some of those events, like where, whether it's ski jumping, kind of like we're on the half pipe, and snowboarding on the half pipe, where they get two runs, you know, so they, you know, they blow it on their first run, they fall, they get like a super low score. And I'm thinking, wow, what's got to be going through their head, knowing that I only have one more shot at this. And if I blow it, I'm out. And if I, you know, succeed, I may be in the medal running. And I think mental toughness just has got to be such a component of an elite athlete, because it is the difference between maybe gold and fifth place really is that mental toughness, because they're all technically very capable.
You know, yeah, and what we know about mental toughness is that there are certain patterns to the way a person thinks. There are patterns to a way a person responds to adversity. And we know that these skills are trainable. Mm-hmm. And we know that when they are trained consistently over time, they make a significant difference in a person's ability to perform, compete, execute, especially when there's pressure involved.
Yeah. Well, Sean, how would you define mental toughness? What does that look like to you?
You know, I've been asked this question hundreds of times, and I want to just say this to start off with. Mental toughness is comprised of a series of skills. Mm-hmm. It's not like you build mental toughness as a skill itself.
Okay.
You build the skills that lead you to be mentally tough.
Gotcha.
Okay. And the outcome is mental toughness, like confidence. Being confident is one of the skills associated with becoming mentally tough. Dealing with discouragement is a skill of becoming mentally tough. Having focus in your life is a skill that leads you to be more mentally tough. Controlling your thinking and being very intentional about the way you think is a skill of mental toughness. And the more of these individual components that you make a part part of your life and the more that you make a part of your everyday practice or your everyday, you know, mindset, the more that you exhibit mental toughness as a result of those skills. So mental toughness is the ability to be at your best and to be able to play life or play sport or achieve a goal at your best in spite of the resistance that comes to knock you off course.
Gotcha. Now, with, you know, the hundreds and maybe even thousands of people that you've worked with over the years, are there any one of those or two of those skills that you feel people struggle with more than others? Or are they all fairly equal?
Well, I think there's three things that people generally struggle with. And the first thing is, I think many people struggle with their focus.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say focus, I don't mean the ability to pay attention to something for a period of time. I mean, a lot of people struggle with keeping things simple, keeping things clear, and executing on something on a regular basis. A lot of people want the newest fad, they want the newest idea, they want the newest this, they want the easy way out.
They never really generate
any sense of momentum because they're always changing their plan halfway through the week or halfway through the month. And so athletically speaking, people that can't commit to and follow through on a regular training plan are the ones that really get tripped up under pressure because they don't have any endurance of mind to do so.
Right.
So that's the first one. The second one is I think a lot of people allow their events in life, you know, in an athletic sense, people that are athletes let their events determine how they feel about themselves. They don't choose how they want to deal with things beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So they give a lot of power away. You know, if you look at people that are truly exhibiting mental toughness as a whole, very few people who are mentally tough give away their power.
Right.
They don't allow their individual circumstances to define them. They define their individual circumstances and they utilize those circumstances to promote and generate future growth.
Absolutely.
And so that's the second. And the third thing is I think people for the most part misunderstand confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for many, confidence has become this feeling that they have. And, you know, if things are going exactly the way they want them to, then they feel confident. If they're not going the way they want them to, then they don't feel confident. And people don't realize that confidence is a right and it is the byproduct of competence.
Okay.
And the more that a person develops the mastery of skills that qualify them for success, the more right they have to confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell the people that I work with that, you know, if someone's, and you know this about me because you've known me for over 20 years, that if you said, Sean, go outside and change the oil in your car, I'd have no confidence that I could do that.
Right.
Zero confidence. But if you said, can you help this person go from a lack of confidence to confidence in their life, I'd have zero doubt that I couldn't do that.
Absolutely.
And it's just related to my competencies. It's just related to my skills. And so what you're doing here with the five percenters is you are passing on a mindset and you're passing on a way of going about weight loss that gives people the tools and gives people skills that give them a right to be confident that they can enjoy that result at some point in their life.
Absolutely. One of the things I really like what you had to say is just, you know, people that are mentally tough, one of the skills they develop is they don't give their power away. And that's one of the things that I've seen in my life in the past where, you know, especially when it comes to health and weight loss, if I went to an event, to somebody's house, you know, out to dinner with friends, you know, I would want to, you know, eat healthy. I'd want to do the right thing, but I would give my power away saying, well, I can't say no. You know, somebody's offering me something. I can't say no because, you know, they're offering it to me. So I would give my power away, end up eating in a way that I didn't want to eat. And I just wasn't learning the skill of saying no and being okay with the fact that sometimes you're going to disappoint people. You know, and letting other people's, you know, moods and other people's opinions of me really dictate how I was going to live versus me dictating how I'm going to live.
Right. And, And once you get clear, which is another component of mental toughness, is once you get clear on what your outcome is, and once you have a clear purpose for why that outcome is important to you, then you're less likely to allow things like that get in your way, because your purpose is clear, your plan is clear, your desired outcome is clear.
Right.
And if you look at people that are exhibiting mental weakness, and weakness isn't bad, it just isn't sufficient to help us live the kind of lives we want to live.
Absolutely.
Mentally weak people are perpetually confused, and they're perpetually indecisive, they're perpetually tentative, and it's almost as though they want to find a reason why they can't do something more than they want to find the clarity that leads them to the outcome that they seek.
Right. Well, and what you're talking about really is such a fundamental shift in our thinking. And, you know, to say that I got to develop these skills versus feel confident, and I think that's what a lot of people are, they're waiting for the right diet. They're waiting for the magic pill. They're waiting for the surgery or whatever it is to say, okay, now I can be confident because this expert or this thing, this book, now is the right way to go, versus saying, I got to develop the skill I need in order to figure out what works for me. You know, I'm going to have to implement some new strategies and test them out. And over time, I'll get clearer and clearer about what's going to work for me versus what doesn't work for me. And I think that's where a lot of people are always looking to external sources for their source of encouragement or their source of confidence. And what you're really doing with people, both on the in the athletic realm and outside of athletic realm, because I know you've worked with business leaders, I know you've worked with entrepreneurs, teaching a lot of the same stuff and coaching around a lot of the same issues.
Yeah, and you know, I guess what I've found is that the greatest form of mastery is to master ourselves. And I know from my own experience, and also from the thousands of people that I've had the pleasure of working with over the years, is that mastery of self begins with establishing a clear outcome of what I seek, developing a clear plan of action that I'm willing to execute, and then being flexible enough to make adjustments as I see fit in order to reach my goal. But most, like for you, Dennis, I mean, you've been on your journey for now years.
Yep.
And what I'm most impressed by related to your journey is not that you lost the weight. You know, the weight, most people can you know, get their way through 6 months to lose some weight.
Absolutely, yeah.
What I'm impressed by with you is the fact that you have absolutely virtually changed and transformed your lifestyle. And you're enjoying not just the benefits of weight loss, you're enjoying the benefits of a transformed life that happens to include a loss of weight.
Absolutely.
You know, you're more confident, you're more internally clear, you have greater self-awareness, you are more empowered, you carry yourself differently. I mean, all of these things are the byproduct of the character that you have nurtured and developed over the years that you have practiced your strategies of weight loss. And weight loss is just one of the many byproducts of the process, not the only byproduct.
Oh, not in the least. And I, one of the future podcasts I want to, you know, talk about is how changing your health and getting mastery over this one area of your life can improve other areas that are even related. I mean, I think I improve my health and I actually improve my career. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
I improve my health and I improve my relationships.
Absolutely.
You know, and so that's what's so great about this mental toughness is that if we can learn the skills we need to be mentally tough, it's going to transform our lives on so many different levels. And what I really see is, like, you know, this isn't necessarily things we grew up learning. You know, I mean, what schools are teaching mental toughness?
There aren't really any schools teaching mental toughness. And I think our culture is noticing the effects of people who don't exhibit mental toughness. For instance, in our in our teenage culture right now, we as a society have become so coddling to our teenage culture that we want to protect them from every natural and logical consequence that's about to come their way.
Yep.
If you want to notice this, just go to the youth sports field and go to any sporting events and watch parents dabble all over their kids when they don't have enough water in their bottle. They don't have enough, you know, they don't get the playing time that they want. They don't, you know, they have to get up early to go to practice.
Right.
And watch how parents coddle their kids to make excuses for them and to accommodate for their lack of responsibility. And then we wonder why our kids exhibit a lack of mental toughness. It's because they never really truly have to face the outcomes of their actions in their life.
Right. Or, you know, last year my son was on a soccer team and they only won one game out of the season. And yeah, just how tough that was for that group, but you got to keep showing up every week, keep working on things. And, you know, there's great lessons in failure. And there's great lessons to be learned in setbacks, as long as we can have the mental toughness to say, okay, what do I need to change about the way I'm playing or the way I'm behaving or the way I'm thinking so that I can overcome whatever challenge I'm facing? And I think that's where I would encounter some kind of a challenge in my life around health or weight or relationships, and I would just fold. I would just say, screw it, you know, this isn't working, you know? And it was really learning that resiliency and that mental toughness and changing that thinking that really helped me just stick to the plan and stick to the goals. And in my last podcast, I talked about how, you know, you go to these soccer practices and then we load up our kids with sugar and candy after practice as if somehow like going to work out for an hour, now you get to have a treat. And to me, it's like, what's that about? You know, I like ran on, you know, the treadmill for 40 minutes at, you know, at the Y the other day, and I don't like go, okay, I guess I go get a donut now because I worked out.
Well, if all our behavior was supported by logic, none of us would have any problems.
Right, and exactly.
Because we're emotional, you know, we're emotional. We're basically emotional state addicts.
Yeah.
You know, we want to feel good. We want our kids to feel good. We want to feel a sense of accomplishment. And we want to feel a high on a regular basis. And people don't realize that there's a great chemistry change that occurs in your life and in your body when you learn to think differently.
Yep.
And maybe at some point, Dennis, we can talk in a future podcast about the chemistry of calm and the chemistry of joy and the chemistry, because the way we think activates certain chemicals being released in our body. And the more we practice thinking in that manner, the more that we flood our systems with the kind of chemicals or hormones that are associated with elevated emotional states. And we don't need to have sugar, and we don't need to have stimulants, and we don't need to have the kinds of things that many people supplement in order to feel better when they have every tool and every resource they need in their brain in order to do that.
Right. Well, and I think it's what a lot of people don't want in this whole process, and I think that's whether it's sports, career, health, relationships, is they don't want discomfort. And there's just a certain amount of discomfort you got to deal with, you know, whenever you're trying something new or whenever you're implementing a new strategy or a new plan, new form of exercise. You know, I remember when I started switching over to more of like a high intensity workout where I'm really, you know, doing all these different routines weight wise and just getting my heart rate, and it hurt, you know?
Yeah.
And it, you know, on one level I was just going, God, this sucks. I mean, this isn't fun. But then you get done and you're like, okay, you know, I feel pretty good. And, but not to give up on it, you know, after one shot, to keep trying and keep working and experimenting. Then it just becomes a skill that you realize this is kind of the way that's going to work for me now. But I think for a lot of people, just not wanting to push through that first layer or two of discomfort as they're trying to implement something new in their life. All right. Well, that wraps up part one of my interview with Sean Goodsell, and I think you'll agree that there's just some really great information there about how to build mental toughness that we can apply to our health goals, our relationships, or maybe even our careers. I'll be putting out part two of the interview next week, so look for that. Also, I will be posting chapter 7 of Get Smart and Get Slim later this week. So be looking for that as well. And you can find out all about this stuff on dennisbird.org. And like I've said in the past, if you are finding this information helpful, you know, let other people know about it. You know, forward them the podcast or the chapters of the book if you think they will get some benefit out of it. Also, if you're willing, something that could really help me out is if you go to iTunes and find the 5%ers podcast and leave a positive review, that really will help other people find me as they're looking for information about health and wellness. Well, with that, have a great day. Take care. Thanks for listening today, and if you found this podcast helpful, let your friends and family know about it. And if you'd like to know more about being a 5%er, you can visit my website at dennisbird.org. And remember, folks, when it comes to your health, work hard, do your best, and never give up. Have a great day, everybody.